This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Wine and food matching. Last week we talked about how WSET uses the concepts of how the food changes the wine, and I introduced the way I look at it using that balance where you've got the nice stuff on one side, which is the sweetness, the body, and the fruitiness in the wine. And then the nasty stuff, you've got the burning effect of alcohol, tannins, and acidity. And those two sides are like a seesaw, and they go up and down together. So if you affect one part of one side and push that up, the other side will go down, and vice versa. Well, this week, we're looking at particular food and wine matchings, and we're taking a more holistic approach. As I said, when I first got into the wine trade, people used to talk about food and wine matching, and I really didn't understand it, and it took me quite a while for me to come up with my own views on food and wine matching. I came up with that balance equation and how things interact, and this is sort of a more holistic approach that I believe in as well, looking at specific combinations. Okay, so this week we're going to look at particular types of food and wine matching. So we're going to start off with wine and cheese matching. Now, before we look at wine and cheese, we need to understand what cheese is. And cheese is made up of either cow's, goat, or sheep's milk, typically. It can be high or low in salt, umami, fat, and acidity. Each of these components interact with the wine. The general wisdom for cheese and wine matching is white wines match best with soft cheeses. Red wines match best with hard cheeses. Fruity and sweet wines, such as dessert wines, work best with a range of cheeses. And the key thing is, the more pungent the cheese you choose, the sweeter the wine should be. Now, determining why these guidelines work is a little bit hard. But from referring back to our basic guidelines of food and wine matching we talked about, we have a couple of matches. Red wines and cheese is often thought as a perfect combination. If you go to the general public and say, what's the best combination with cheese? A lot of people go red wine, but it's actually the white wines that often work best. However, if you're looking for a cheese to match with a red wine, you want to think about hard cheeses. Hard cheeses tend to be high in salt. The salt acts as a preservative during the aging process and is used in hard cheeses a lot more than soft cheeses. Salt stops you tasting tannins, and that helps bring up the fruit of the wine. And if you suppress tannins, you suppress acidity, the burning effect of alcohol, you bring up the fruit, the body, and the sweetness in the wine, making the wine taste nicer. Another good idea for red wines is cheese high in fat. Cheese, especially high-fat cheese, tends to coat the mouth, masking the drying texture that you get from tannins. So, for example, the type of cheeses that are high in fat and salt include cheddar, feta, Roquefort, Stilton. Another reason to be careful with cheeses with red wines is that cheeses can be high in umami. Umami tends to harden the tannins, reducing the fruit and the body of the wine. So you've got to be super careful to make sure your cheese doesn't have too much umami in it and lots of salt if you want a nice red wine match. With some cheeses being very pungent, matching them with sweet wines makes sense. This follows the guidelines I mentioned last week of matching the weight of the food with the weight of the wine. Sweet wines have lots of weight, so they hold up really well against flavoured cheese. It's also true that cheeses tend to be fairly low in sweetness. So the old guideline, dessert wines should be sweeter than dessert, also holds up. Now, one combination people go a little bit gaga is port and Stilton. Now, Stilton will have high salt, lots of fat, and reasonable amounts of umami. But the level of sweetness in that port will overpower any of those problems you get from the hardening of the tannins from umami. So port and Stilton is a good combination just for the fact the amount of sweetness in the wine means that the umami and the salt in the cheese sort of cancel each other out a little bit. You don't notice it so much. The next type of combination we want to look at is sparkling wines and food matching. One of the things about sparkling wines is, if they've gone through the traditional method and they've gone through autolysis, one of the things that the wines have in it is umami. Now, umami can be a little bit tough on tannins, but we're talking about sparkling wines without any tannins, so that's no problem. But one of the things is, different types of glutamates or umami tend to work really well together. So umami and umami, as long as you keep away from tannins, they actually create lots of really nice flavors that people often quite like. So one of my favorites is to get some mushrooms, cook them up with some Parmesan cheese and Worcester sauce in there. Oh, and a big dab of salt on the top as well. But all three, Worcester sauce, cheese, and mushrooms, all have lots of umami in them, and those umamis all work really well together. While most people think of fizz as a pre-dinner drink, in actual fact, it works pretty well with many types of food and is a wine that can be matched to a huge range of diverse styles. This type of flexibility is because sparkling wines come in a range of styles that I think can be categorized into three main types. So when you're thinking about sparkling wine, you need to think about the type of sparkling wine you've got and matching that type to food. So the three types are what I would call light, rich, and heavy. The light, crisp, and simple sparkling wines, such as Prosecco, and pretty much any other tank method sparkling wines, as well as most English sparkling wines and some non-vintage champagnes, and most Cremants, their defining characteristic is acidity, which is sometimes described as quite racy. Matching these wines is about matching the acidity. Salty foods, for some reason, match pretty well. The briny nature of oysters makes for a classic match. But you can also go for that second sin of healthy eating, fatty foods. The acidity-assisted bubbles will help freshen things like tempura, but also all types, onion rings, savory fritters. Now, rich sparkling wines is the second category. Crisp and rich sparkling wines include things that are made the traditional method and have experienced significant autolysis. That's where the wines age on the dead yeast, and they pick up bready flavoured aromas with lots of umami in them. Wines like this might include some of the more premium non-vintage champagnes, or maybe some vintage champagnes, and the best English sparkling wines as well. But these wines have a little bit more gut, so they can hold up to certain things. So think about things like sushi with soya sauce and sparkling wines. The richness of the fish on sticky rice is a good match. The umami-rich soya sauce works with the umami and the fizz as well. So umami is something that we like. It's just pretty tough on certain styles of wine, particularly tannic red wines. But if you've got some fizzy wines, umami and umami work lovely. The salt from the fish combines with the acidity in the wine, creating a nice taste for many people. But be warned, acidity in the wine will sharpen the razor edge of wasabi, so be a bit careful with wasabi. Another type of food that goes well with these rich sparkling wines is hard salty cheeses, such as Spanish Manchego or the Italian Parmigiano Reggiano, and they complement the sharpness of the sparkling wine. Again, acidity and salt tie into the richness of umami working together. Now, a really strange combination to think of is quiche. The crispness of the sparkling wines cleanse the palate, and the egg and the cheese and the weight of the wine means that they work better than, say, a crisp, simple sparkling wine. The other type of sparkling wine you might want to consider is heavy wines. And these are heavy, traditional method sparkling wines, such as Reserva and Grand Reserva Cava. Again, they tend to be very bready and yeasty aromas with lots of umami in them. They're much softer with more full mouthfeel and simply don't have the acidity of some of the more racy sparkling wines. As such, they're among the most full-bodied dry sparkling wines you're likely to come across. If you think about almost any food and wine matching you might want to match, say, a medium-weight Chardonnay with, then you've got a pretty good starting point. Bubbles give the impression of more acidity than the wine really has, but you can get away with a roast chicken. And at the other end of the scale, you could possibly have some soft cheeses such as Camembert or Baked Brie. Now, one type of matching that people often talk about is spicy food and wine matching. And last week, I mentioned that depending on your cultural upbringing, the match that's perfect for you depends on what you're trying to achieve. If you're trying to hide the spiciness in the food, then you want to go for a sweet wine which will mask the spiciness in the food. But if you like spicy food, hence the reason why you ordered it, you may want to big up the spiciness in the food, in which case a tannic red wine might be a good approach. It all comes down to what you want the combination to achieve. The thing is, normally when we think about hot Indian or Mexican food, the immediate reply to what you're going to drink is lager. And this is not a bad combination. But there are wines that go with hot spicy food. And the key is to either play up or play down the heat. If you're looking to play down the heat of the food, the key thing to look for is sugar. Sweet wines cool the palate. They take the heat away from the mouth. And the wine with an acidic backbone will also take heat away, as acidity encourages salivation. If you're trying to hide the heat, high alcohol wines are a no-no. Alcohol causes a warming sensation in the mouth and throat, and so adds heat to the food and should be avoided. Similarly, hot foods emphasizes the drying effect of tannins in wine, and most people do not like harsh tannins. So heavy tannic wines should also be avoided if you're trying to play down the heat in the food. So if you're trying to play down the food, heat in the food, what are you left with? Well, a semi-sweet to sweet white wine with a refreshing acidity and perhaps maybe some bubbles. The wine that fits the bill for me is Moscato d'Asti, one of my faves. This has got higher levels of sugar content and lower alcohols. It's also refreshing, associated with acidity and the bubbles. Other wines that might go quite well are off-dry German Rieslings and sweeter styles of English wine. But people often talk about Alsace, Gewürztraminers, Rieslings, etc. And as long as they've got a little bit of sweetness in the wine, they're normally considered pretty good. You normally don't want a dry Gewürztraminer, because Gewürztraminer can be very high in alcohol. And if it's dry, it's going to enhance the burning effect of the food. That said, if you're looking to big up the burning effect of the food, then you're going to be looking at wines with low levels of sugar. You're going to be looking with wines with pretty high levels of tannins and alcohol. And both high tannins and alcohol will big up that spicy heating flavor. So you could consider yourself a big Barolo would be perfect. But I'd probably go, if I was having something spicy, I might possibly go for a more fruity style of full alcohol wine. So I might be looking at more of a premium type of Cabernet Sauvignon from Napa Valley, perhaps. These are opposite types of wine doing the opposite effect on the food. So you've really got to have an idea of what you're looking for when you're looking for that food and wine match. The final thing I want to look at food and wine matching is meat dishes and wine. Many meals are based around meat, and different types of meat are often associated with different wines. While people believe in red wines go with red meat and white wines go with white meat, this is only an approximation. The key to remember is to match the weight of the food with the weight of the wine. Now, let's start with poultry. Poultry can be cooked in a variety of ways. And as I said, you want to match the weight of the food with the weight of the wine. Nearly always holds up true. Dry white wines are best placed to start, especially with light chicken salads. But heavier, heartier roasts or smoked chicken can handle a light red wine or even a heavier rosé wine, providing an interesting option to the more traditional match of a full-bodied white wine, such as an oak chardonnay. With fish, the type of fish or shellfish and the method of cooking can make a huge difference to which wine to serve. But again, matching the weight of the food with the weight of the wine is worth sticking to. Also remember that salt is a common feature in fish dishes, and salty foods do go well with tannic red wines. You need to be a little bit careful with some red wines, though, and fish. You will find occasionally you'll get a fish meal and a red wine, and it will create a nasty metallic taste in the red wine. So fish can be a problem with red wines. As with most white meats, most white wines and light reds with low tannins do best with fish. However, acidity and salt work well together, both lifting the dish and reinforcing each other. For light, salty fish dishes, consider a crisp sparkling wine or a champagne. This is even more true with fried fish, where the acidity of the wine cuts through the oil and fat. While the structure of the wine and food is important, scientists in Japan have shown that red wines containing iron can create unpleasant fishy tastes. But to be honest, it's impossible to know which wines have high iron levels in them. So this becomes much more of a trial and error process to determine which light reds would go well with fish. Now, red meats is another of those big meat dishes, beef, lamb, etc. Red meat and red wines has always been the cry. But why? Well, if you look at red meat, it's usually pretty heavy. Obviously, being heavy usually means you need the heavier styles of wine, matching the weight of the food with the weight of the wine. But some meat dishes are heavier than others. For example, a beef stew will be heavier than, say, a rare steak. Heavy red wines such as Brossard Shiraz will tend to go well with beef or lamb casseroles, while Bordeaux is a much better bet for, say, a lighter steak. The key thing about red meat and red wine isn't so much the meat, it's the salt. If you're having a roast or you're cooking some meat, quite often people will season it reasonably heavily with salt. And it's the salt in the food cutting through the tannins in the wine that's the reason why a lot of people go for red meat, red wine. But you can go for a hearty white wine and have a red meat. If you think about something like a Viognier, which can be a very gutsy wine, that can hold up quite nicely to lighter styles of red meat. The final type of meat we want to touch on is pork. And pork is a full-flavoured and often needs a fairly full-bodied white wine or a light-bodied red. And as I said, a couple of examples of Viognier and Oaky Chardonnays are a good place to start for white wines. And reds, you want to think of sort of cool to medium climates, things like Beaujolais, Valpolicella, lighter styles of Pinot Noir as well. They'll all go pretty nicely with pork. Again, it's about matching the weight of the wine with the weight of the food. And finally, the last thing to remember about food and wine matching is the sauce. Don't forget matching the wine with the sauce, whether that's a vinaigrette dressing, an orange sauce to go with your duck, or a deep gravy to go with your roast lamb. Matching the weight of the wine with the sauce and making sure that the flavours complement each other. If you've got lots of gravy going on, you may not think that red cherry flavours work really well with gravy. That said, if you're having, say, something like ham, maybe red cherry goes well together. Now, the problem with sauces is when you're matching flavours, that is very cultural. There's less about the interaction between the wine and the food, and it's more about what you think is acceptable. And what you think is acceptable is usually governed by your upbringing and your experience with different types of food and wine. So just be careful. Matching sauces can be a little bit of a nightmare. But most people know what they think works well in sauces, so stick to your guns. But don't be afraid to experiment and try all sorts of weird and wonderful combinations. That's how you find those 10% of really nice combinations. You will stumble across some of the 10% of the nasties, but most of the time, as I say, 80% of food works with 80% of wines. So just get in there, enjoy it, and experiment.